Coming up in this episode of the Doc Theme Park Show, we conclude our epic trip planning series with our witches trip report from Universal Orlando. Greetings and welcome to the Doc Theme Park Show, Creepy Kingdoms podcast, all about theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. In this episode, we conclude our epic trip planning series that we started a few months ago with our Witches Trip Report from Universal Orlando. Did they take our advice? Did they go against us? About to find out. Alrighty, it's time to open the gates. Alrighty. Back here with the whole gang. Sir Florida Man himself. Grant, hello.
Hello.
You sounded more Floridalicious every time we record a show for the fine people. And we have our resident traveling witches, Tanisha.
Hey.
And Melissa.
Hi.
Very chipper and happy witches. It's all good. All right. So we are concluding our epic. How many parts was this? I've lost track of how many parts.
This is number four.
This is number four. Okay. I thought it might have been number five.
No, because we didn't end up splitting the first Disney World one into two like we thought we were going to.
Okay. There we go. All right. So
yeah, this is our Lord of the Rings. This is going to be like 9 hours when all of a sudden that if you listen. I'm really not exaggerating that either.
Well, how many hours in are we now?
The first one was 2.5 hours. Second one was like 1 hour and 40. I think we're at like 6.5, so we'll probably hit 8.
We'll see. The hours of quality entertainment that we provide the listeners is unmatched. So, well, it's time for your Universal Orlando trip report. In case listeners are unaware, or if you haven't heard the earlier episodes, you're just chiming in now. Melissa and Tanisha live in Southern California and go to the Southern California theme parks and took their first trip to Orlando. Before they went, we gave them our advice on what to do, what not to do, and all that kind of fun stuff.
And we listened to none of it.
And then they went and listened to none of it and told us about how they didn't listen to us at Walt Disney World. And now we're all set to hear how they didn't listen to us at Universal Orlando.
We listen to some stuff.
Okay, some stuff. We'll see. All right. What's most important is that we all warned you not to go on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
And you went did. Anyways.
I had to know. And you know what? I just have to say I have no regrets. Like, I'm glad I went on it because I feel like it enhanced my appreciation for Disneyland's Pirates ride even more.
Okay, that's very lovely.
Well, that's a takeaway.
Yeah, that's a takeaway. The reason that we're saying not to do things is not to be pessimistic, but was to maximize your time in the parks because you only had limited times. We're not trying to say don't do things, you know. But I'm glad that you're stand by your convictions and have no regrets. I don't think that there's anything at Universal that we felt as strongly about. I think the things that we said not to do at Universal Orlando was the things that were at Universal Hollywood because they are literally the exact same experience. And if you're on limited time, it's kind of a waste of time. But
yeah.
But we'll see what you did and didn't do. All right. So one of the reasons that you originally were going there was that normally during this time of year, it was the celebration of Harry Potter, and they decided to not have it this year.
Boo.
Womp womp.
I'm sad.
But
disappoint.
Yes, that was a letdown, of course. But there was still a bunch of other Harry Potter fans like yourselves who still congregated during this time.
Yeah.
And that is about all I know about your trip to Universal Orlando, because it was at this point that you guys stopped updating the Instagram feed.
We got ghosted.
I know. I do. I just feel like at that point, Melissa and I were just so tired.
We
were just so focused on like, okay, we have to do these things, but we were like forgetting all the, yeah, like our hype and our energy had just kind of deflated at that point.
You had gone 4 days, four parks at Walt Disney World,
yep.
And then no break next
no
day.
Break.
And while it is cooler, it was a cooler time of year when you guys went, you still have that humidity and you still have some of that. So the weather is a little different. So it becomes a little more tiring than, you know, most people realize.
Well, that and the parks are significantly bigger. So I know you guys had given us the heads up, but that like the walking distance to get from one thing to another thing just took so much more effort than we were used to.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I stressed, which I'm going to assume you guys ignored, was that you should probably start walking a lot before you go on the trip.
Listen, I go on daily walks every single day. I trained for it as much as I could.
Okay, all right,
I think there's still no way you really can prepare for just how spread out everything is. Because not even like within the parks, like everything is further apart from each other. But then also getting from like one space, like getting from your hotel to the theme park or getting from one theme park to another was just like a task and a half. And that was exhausting as well.
At Walt Disney World, getting theme park to theme park at Universal is pretty easy.
That was much easier.
That's something that I forgot about once I moved here. Sorry. That's something I forgot about once I moved here was like when you first start here, how overwhelming it is. Now it's like a fact of life for me where it's like, oh, this is how we get there. And it's just normal to walk that far. But when, the first time you kind of forget about how far everything really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were a bit overwhelmed how the distance between things were.
And just to recap for our listeners, Grant grew up in Southern California and now lives in Florida. He had that same kind of experience that you guys had getting accustomed to the journey. But it's more of a mindset in it that I've come to accept that, you know, you're, especially Walt Disney World, you're not going to get from park to park in under an hour.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. Right, Scruffs?
Hi, doggy.
Scruffy says
you're my favorite customer. Hi, doggy. Bye.
Sorry, there's like people doing road work, so he's like, my dog's crazy.
I just named your dog Scruffs. I hope that's okay.
He's Mickey.
His name's actually Mickey, yeah.
Oh, Mickey,
and her cat's Minnie. Oh. So cute.
Disney obsessed. Yeah.
I like Scruffs better. Scruffs. I'm going to go with Scruffs. All right. So anyways, we'll leave that in. Everyone can hear Mickey Scruffs. So all right. You guys are really tired. I got that. Jet lagged, humidity, walking.
Yeah. Yes. All the things.
All the things we're not used to, yeah.
Yeah, all the things we're really not, yeah.
Right on. So let's hear about it. What was your going on your first day at Universal? Did you go to Studios or Islands first?
We did Studios day one, and focused our efforts all over there. So it was pretty much, for me, I went straight to Diagon Alley because I just couldn't wait for the reveal.
That was the first thing we did.
I'm pretty sure that's what I told you to do.
Yeah. I got really choked up and emotional walking in because I was like, this is so amazing and everything I had hoped it would be and dreamed it would be. And then as soon as we walked in, so also I want to give the caveat because we were still going for a sort of impromptu meetup that was in place of the celebration, we were dressed in cosplay. So we were cosplaying American Ilvermorny students.
So cosplay, it's interesting that you use that terminology. So you were straight up cosplaying and they allowed you to enter the park dressed like that?
Oh, yeah. So Universal, for people who don't know, Universal is much more lenient on cosplay and dressing up than Disney is. So they pretty much, you can go in full cosplay as long as you don't have your face covered or painted and you're not wearing anything that's too large where it's like going to be potentially hazardous or blocking a walkway. So people go to Universal as straight up Dumbledore, as Harry Potter, as Professor Snape, as Professor McGonagall. Like, you can pretty much go and cosplay, and Universal's like, sure, okay.
I've never seen that. You've seen that at Hollywood? People do that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, at Hollywood. Oh. I go to those events all the time, so let me know. I can always take pictures at those events, too. But yeah, they always have, like, cosplay meetups at Universal Hollywood, too, for Harry Potter.
Interesting. So you guys were cosplaying as Ilvermorny students?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is so, the American Hogwarts for the uninitiated.
Yes. It's the American
for the muggles out there, yeah. Yes.
For the nomadges out there.
Yeah, all those nomadges listening. Yeah, so when we walked in, I got kind of irritated because I walked in and I was like having this like emotional moment and like taking it all in, and people just like ran up to us and were like immediately in our faces like, oh my gosh, you're Ilvermorny students. And I was like, go away, I'm having a moment right now. Like, can you get out of my face?
I forgot about that already.
So you guys need a security is what you're saying when you go to the parks.
in cosplay, I guess. Yeah.
Need a buffer zone.
Yeah.
You need to keep a perimeter around you guys when you're having your moments, your Universal moments. Yeah. That's hashtag. Yeah.
My Universal moments. Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there in cosplay, a lot of fans gathered together. And I always love getting together with my fellow Harry Potter fans. So it was really magical.
All right. So Diagon Alley. So the only, up until this point, you've only experienced Hollywood's Hogsmeade. Mm-hmm. You know, what are your overall impressions of being in the area as opposed to Hollywood?
Oh gosh, there was so much to explore. I don't even know.
Like, there were so many nooks and crannies. All the detail from the movies were there. It was just like your mind was blown. As a Harry Potter fan, you're just how did they translate the stuff in the movie, you know, to real life?
Yeah,
it was so good,
so immersive too. I think that's the biggest thing is like the. Yeah. I feel like Universal, when it comes to immersive like environments and worlds, they really knocked it out of the park with the Wizarding World, with both Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley. It's just like I'm in awe.
I was particularly Diagon Alley. When I spend time in that area, I don't feel like I'm at a theme park. I feel like I'm at an actual place. There's not really any signs of the modern world anywhere. In, you know, the ceilings, the bathrooms, the pipes, you know, all that kind of stuff. So what are your thoughts on Nocturne Alley?
I was Stupid. In heaven. I was in dark wizard heaven. It was so cool. I was like, and then like I had to get some disclosure. My last name is Burks. So of course I had to go get a picture in front of Borgen and Burks. Cause in my head canon, like that's my family's shop.
Your head canon.
Yeah. In my own head canon. I got the merch and I was like taking all these pictures in there, and I was living my best life, doing all the spells and stuff in all the dark cavernous corners.
You are Slytherin, right? I think I just saw that yesterday.
Yes, I am.
So makes sense. All right. So, All the non-Harry Potter fans are like, oh my god, you guys are nerding out way too much. But I don't think there's too many non-Harry Potter Creepy Kingdom listeners. But you know,
I'll say they kind of go hand in hand. Like if you like creepy stuff, you're gonna like witchcraft and wizardry. And
yeah, I know. I understand. Maybe just the handful of them that are like, what are you guys talking about? But whatever. I mean, we got to deep dive a little bit here. But, yeah. Okay. So. What's the next thing I want to talk about? Butterbeer soft serve ice cream. Did you guys eat it?
Yes. It was so
good. I tried Tanisha's.
Is it not the best form of butterbeer that exists?
It really, well, okay. I still like hot butterbeer the best, but it is a close second. It beats out the frozen and the regular butterbeer.
And the hard serve, whatever they call it, that they're starting serving in Hollywood, which is a completely different flavor than the soft serve.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the one that they serve in Hollywood, like the hard packed one, it tastes like, remember those little chocolate vanilla swirl ice creams that you'd buy in those little cups with the wooden spoons?
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like to me.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, probably. It actually has chocolate swirl in it, which is not butterbeer at all.
No.
I'm very passionate about my ice cream. Ice cream Nothing and donuts. Wrong. I get really riled up. No, I absolutely love the soft serve butterbeer ice cream. I've never tried any other flavors. Did you try something else, Melissa?
The only thing, I just tried Tanisha's soft serve because it was cold those 2 days we were there. So I didn't even want to buy a whole ice cream. But I did try the hot butterbeer.
Yeah.
Oh, they were
which
so
I already
good.
Tried at Hollywood.
And is it the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
All right. So, Escape from Gringotts. What are your thoughts on that attraction?
Pretty. So, I didn't see any photos or nothing for Orlando's side of Wizarding World. So, walking into Gringotts, I did not expect it to be like the size it was. Like, at least that lobby area, it was like a full size bank.
It was like a full-scale replica of Gringotts from the movies.
So cool.
Yeah. That's
and then nice. That dungeon-y, or I don't know. That wasn't a dungeon. It's like where you go downstairs. They get all spooky and stuff.
The caverns, the caves, all that. The queue itself is absolutely incredible. It would be an attraction itself just to be able to walk inside of the bank lobby of Gringotts.
I wish I got to just go in again.
If that's all that was there, I think that'd be a very popular thing to do. But it's such a fun little journey to get to have the queue go, you know, we feel like you're going like, you know, the offices and places you're not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the attraction is just okay. I had hyped it up a lot before I went on it, what kind of experience I wanted, and it didn't really match it. And I don't think it's as good as Forbidden Journey.
Oh no, yeah, I agree.
No, it's like a junior version. Even has a lower height requirement. And when they were advertising it as like a roller coaster type ride, it's really not much of a roller coaster except for like two parts.
Yeah, there's a few drops. But the thing that makes it that I will always go on it and I love it is because it's the only places that you're going to see Bellatrix Lestrange and all the Wizarding World. And you get to see her twice. So I was very happy with that.
Since I didn't watch any ride-throughs, that first drop got me really bad. I did not expect
it. It got you really bad, Melissa.
Oh my gosh, it did.
You guys were like
that
scared?
That drop killed me. I started cursing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was like, F you guys. You lied to me.
Wait, which one of you guys is scared of roller coasters?
Me.
Tanisha.
Okay.
The first drop is only like the size of like the Pirates of the Caribbean like boat drop.
The drop
when
itself.
You're not expecting it though.
I think it's the tip.
Fine, but it was the because it tilts you up.
It's the tip
and it
that does it.
Pulls you there.
Yeah.
And so like that anticipation, and then it's dark, so you can't really see how far down it goes. I was just like, I'm done, and I can't even get off this ride now.
Well, I mean, what do you think Bellatrix was gonna do?
I thought she was gonna like me because, like, you know, we're homies like that, but you know.
Apparently not. But anyways, all right. I mean, we could do a whole episode on Gringotts. I'm not going to keep going deep dive that. But yeah. All right. Well, I'm trying to think what else is in Diagon Alley.
Did you do the restaurant there?
Oh, of course. The Leaky Cauldron.
Mm-hmm. It was English food.
Yeah.
Did you try the toad in the hole that I recommended?
I did eat that.
Yeah, you listen to my advice.
Yes, I did.
What is the toad in the hole?
I don't eat pork, so I couldn't take that advice. Sorry.
What is it?
Sausage in a pastry.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
You like it?
So what Tanisha said, it's very English.
Yes.
It's very English. I would just leave it at that.
Oh, wait, but so is... So it's Three Broomsticks, right? I mean, it's the same. It's not the same food because I think Leaky Cauldron food is, I enjoy it more than Three Broomsticks. But I would say Three Broomsticks is, there's nothing American in there, right?
Like, no. It's just, we mean English food in the sense that it's very bland and like very seasonless and like no flavor or spice to it whatsoever. So, I mean, that's what you kind of have to expect, but. Yeah,
I love those bangers and mash there.
I think when you mean seasonless, though, I think a lot of times, though, in general, most theme parks tend to be a little easier with the spices to cater to the wider audience and not say, well, I have a low sodium diet and you have so much salt in this, or I have an allergy to this. So a lot of theme parks tend to kind of neuter the menu a little bit just for the general populace, because I, you know, like I do ghost peppers and stuff like that. The average person is not doing that kind of thing. So they're not going to put that on the menu. It's kind of like even, it's like when you see even something like ghost pepper fries at like Taco Bell or Del Taco or something like that, it's not going to have the heat that you would see just because they don't want to send stuff back. So I'm suspecting that that's kind of the reason why some of that food is a little more bland than you would expect it to be.
Yeah. Well, and then on top of that, like, I don't know if you've ever been to the UK, but their food like generally tends to be pretty bland to begin with. And then,
except for haggis. Haggis is definitely not bland.
Can't say I've had that.
I'll say I don't touch that.
Melissa, you're going to say something? Your final thoughts on the food?
I did enjoy it for what it was. I usually carry packets of hot sauce with me, and this time I didn't, and I regret it because that needed something.
Need a little spice.
I usually carry packets of hot sauce. It's a very interesting fact about you.
That's hysterical.
I know I can hit Melissa. Whenever we go to theme parks, I know I can hit Melissa up for some hot sauce.
All right. So, last thoughts before we leave Diagon Alley.
We stay there for the majority of the day.
Most how of the many, day, just exploring.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many times did you guys go on Gringotts?
Once, because the line was insane. So we didn't go the first day because it was already like, I think 2 hours by the time we got there.
2 hours? So, Jesus.
Yeah, so we ended up going the second day because the second day we were there, it was raining. So the crowds were significantly thinned out, and so it was only I think like a 40 or 45 minute wait, so we ended up going first thing in the morning on the second day.
Want to go into the Hogwarts Express now, or do we want to do that for the other park?
I mean, I was gonna ask that next, but my last question there is, you just brought up, were there a lot of people that were going there that were wanted to go to Celebration that still went anyways, and that's why it was so busy and crowded in Diagon Alley?
There was a significant portion of people that were like in cosplay or dressed up like to the nines in their Harry Potter gear that I know were there for the meetup. I would assume that it was just probably still really crowded because a lot of people had just still planned to go that weekend anyway.
Wild. Well, there's a tip. Even when they cancel it, it's still going to be packed there. Because because it was it a weekend day or there? I don't remember.
We went on Saturday.
Okay.
Nah.
There you go. I was just wondering why it was 2 hours in the middle of the week in January.
But also, as kind of a side note right there, is that, Florida doesn't tend to have as many annual pass holders as California does. The bulk of people that I know that are pass holders to a theme park tend to be ones toward Universal because it's significantly cheaper. So Universal, I've noticed, actually will fill up more on the weekends than Disney does, because if you're off of work or off of school, you know, you're going to go to the one that you can afford to do more.
Yeah, it's like $500-$600 less, right?
Oh, my wife and I pay $60 a month for, so it's $720 for a year, and we have a pretty good one, including the parking. But we get like 4 free months versus the $90 a month with no free months at Disney. So, you know, it's, I would say it's probably about $150-$180 less. Oh, but if you have a, wow. if you're taking a whole family there, you know, those that definitely adds up.
Oh yeah.
But to conclude all this, you got to, as Grant alluded to, your ride the Hogwarts Express. So, what are your guys' thoughts on that experience?
Oh my gosh.
Magical.
So magical. It was so great. I can't even. It was so fabulous. I don't need, I just was like, just walking through the, so first of all, my queue review again, walking through King's Cross Station, it's amazing how much they made it feel like a train station and you're literally going to catch your train. And then, and then going through platform 9 3/4, obviously, like, you only get the magic of it if you're standing back watching people walk through, not so much like walking through
Spoiler
yourself.
Spoiler alert, jeez, man. Not everyone's got to do
it
yet.
I feel like actually I need to give people that heads up, because if you're thinking that you're going to like walk through, and that, because there was a lot of people that had totally walked by like where you can actually see the platform 9 3/4 entryway. And so when they walked through, they had like totally missed it. And they were like, wait, but I thought we were supposed to walk through platform 9 3/4. Where was that part? And it's kind of like a blink and you miss it. So I feel like people need that heads up that you need to like stop around the corner before you walk through the platform if you want to see the magic happen.
All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I didn't miss it the first time I went.
Oh, Tanisha, do you want to say, we asked the... What are they called there? Not cast members.
Team members.
Yes. Team members. Where 9 3/4 was.
Yeah. A little video montage of our trip, but I haven't got around to it yet.
That would be sweet for the show. Yeah. If you had that right
now. I'm going to try. My video editing skills are terrible, but I'm going to try my best. We asked her, like, excuse me, how do you get to platform 9 3/4? And she was like, excuse me, what? There's no such thing as a platform 9 3/4. Like, you know, there's 9 or 10. Like, which one do you need to catch?
Oh,
and
my, I was God, like, oh my God, yes.
This is so great. I was like, I love it.
Where was this this team member? Like, right when you first walk in?
Yeah, right when you first walk into, like, the King's Cross Station. She was right inside, like, in front of, I guess, the you know, like, the ticket board? There, so they have the time arrival and departure board.
Mm-hmm.
So she was standing in front of that area, and I had heard rumors that if you ask them before you walk through platform 9 3/4, that the team members, they don't know because they're muggles. we tested it out, and it's true. They act like they don't know that they're oblivious to the wizarding world, and they don't know about Hogwarts Express. They don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, this is so great.
I also think it's really well done that, so that's, you know, it's a transportation to go to two different parks, and you have to have a two-park ticket. But the way that they make the train station kind of look like you're getting a ticket to go to the train station, so that the team members don't have to break, you know, the fourth wall. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's really well done the way that they have that, mm-hmm. so that you just look like you're giving a ticket to just go on the train, not to go to the other theme park.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so well done.
So when you're on the train, did you guys go both ways?
Oh yeah,
we did
multiple times.
Okay. All right.
So many times
we had to do it.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Melissa.
Oh no, we had to do it multiple times.
Yeah, there was no option. Especially when you're going with me.
So what were your thoughts on the voice of Hermione?
So that was, yeah, I was like, she sounds like a middle-aged woman. I was like, I don't know why. I don't know.
I think that's the most unmagical thing in the entire wizarding world.
I've never noticed that before. Yeah,
you never did? She sounds horrible.
She does not sound like herself at all.
Because by the
is
time
it still her or is it somebody else?
No, it's somebody else. By the time they did Diagon Alley, what's her name? Drawing a blank.
Emma Watson.
She didn't want to do Hermione anymore. So all the stuff in Hogsmeade, you know, that's her, obviously on Forbidden Journey, but on Hogwarts Express, she didn't want to do it. So they got someone else to do it, and I feel like they could have probably tried a little bit harder to get somebody that sounds like Hermione.
Yeah, it was like the casting was off there. They did a great job. Like Harry and I don't know, did they actually get Daniel Radcliffe and
I think they're all imitations. I think none of them wanted to do it again.
Doesn't Daniel Radcliffe make an appearance in Escape from Gringotts momentarily?
No, that's why he's far away. If you notice, he's never close up in Gringotts. It's like that's not him on the screen.
Oh, okay. I figured that it was just covering the fact that he's like, you know,
old as hell,
35.
Because when they, you know, we're going deep in the woods here. When they were doing Hogsmeade and the Forbidden Journey, is when they were filming. What'd you say?
I was saying they were still contracted, so they had to
they were still filming the movie, so they just kind of slid in and, you know, for like a day and got that footage. But they're, you know, I feel like the actors, the trio, are not really like at this point in their lives like super into being the trio. Can keep trying to escape being the trio.
Never.
Which they're never gonna do, but
Hermione is
horrible.
The Harry and Ron were casted very well. Like those voices I felt like were pretty spot on. But
I didn't even notice the difference.
Yeah. Hermione's was obvious.
I don't know. I could have seen Daniel Radcliffe still doing the voice because he seems pretty game about all this stuff.
I don't know. But
I don't know.
I just know that it's not him on Escape from Gringotts. It's not his voice, and it's not him on screen, as opposed to it is him in Forbidden Journey. And that's also, you could think, the new attraction that they're building that's opening very soon, Hagrid's, you know, magical fun times in the sky. You know, it's got nothing
magical
to do...
Magical creatures.
I know what it's called. It's got nothing to do with the trio at all. You know, so it's... Yeah. They're not even probably going to appear
anywhere. I know I'm looking forward to writing Hagrid.
Yeah.
Trip report.
Drum roll.
Trip report, yeah. Ride report.
That was a Grant's attempt at humor.
I'm looking forward to writing Hagrid. I mean, that's going to be what people are going to be saying left and right. I'm looking forward to writing Hagrid.
Oh, writing Hagrid. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I'm just going to shorten it. You know, oh.
We're going to call it Hagrid's.
Hagrid's.
So we don't sound like what Grant just said.
Oh,
or I'm gonna call it something different every time I mention it. That's my new thing. I'm just gonna.
He'll probably be in it though, right? I would think that he would probably shoot new scenes because
You know, it's all rumors, and we're not gonna go too deep into that. I hear there's supposed to be an animatronic of Hagrid.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
that's what I hear. So, and they haven't made an animatronic human at Universal at all. I can't think of anything.
maybe the people that are driving the bus for Kong or for Fast and Furious.
You're right, but those are like you see the back of them, right? So they're
dummies.
Like,
yeah,
they're like dummies. those are super creepy. But anyways, all right. Hogsmeade real quick. What's your feeling being in Orlando's Hogsmeade as opposed to Hollywood's?
I felt like for the most part, it was pretty much exactly the same. Mm-hmm. The only things that were different, obviously, so in Hollywood, there's like this little back alleyway that has some additional magic windows that they don't have in Orlando. But in Orlando, I don't know how to explain it. Like the immersion, just because the surrounding area, you can't, like the sight lines...
You mean there's no huge office building right next
yes,
to Hogwarts?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm getting
at. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So you actually feel like you're in a real place as opposed to a theme park?
Exactly, okay. So that's very well done in Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, too, in Forbidden Journey, I don't remember if you guys told us to not waste time on it because it was the same. I'm trying to remember what you guys told us about it.
I think the opinion...
I told you to do it if you had time because a couple of the static scenes were a little different.
Yes, yeah, so we ended up going on it just because we had a lot of time because the rainy day, the park was pretty empty, and it was different enough that, like, I definitely recommend any Harry Potter fans to go on that, even if you've been on the Hollywood one, because there was some cool special effects in there without giving spoilers away that I was not expecting.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So I remember being like, oh my gosh, what? So it was worth it. Yeah.
Well, funny enough, I've only been on the Orlando Forbidden Journey because Orlando has seats for larger Americans and Hollywood doesn't. So.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
I don't know what the deal with that is. So I probably didn't say don't do it because I haven't had the firsthand experience. But I do know that obviously when Hollywood opened, it was 3D initially. So, mm-hmm. And then they took it away. So I imagine there was some reason for that. So what did you think about the difference between the 3D experience and the non-3D experience?
So Hollywood, since they don't have the 3D experience anymore, I was able to already experience both. And for me, I think the benefit of the 3D experience was that the goggles limited your peripheral vision. So you saw less of the behind the scenes of the magic. But at the same time, the 3D effect was really disorienting and very nausea inducing. So for me, like, I prefer the non-3D experience, but I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, I don't like 3D either. So that did not add to it. It didn't add anything to me.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like 3D, I'm really interested to hear how the rest of your time was. At
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I was about to say, I have a bone to pick with Jimmy Fallon.
So anyway, are we going to go back to regular Universal, or do we want to go to Islands of Adventure?
Let's go back to regular one. I still haven't been on Jimmy Fallon's Escape from New York, whatever it's called.
Don't do it.
I'm going to go on it.
Why did you not like it? Because I actually think the ride is kind of fun.
It's so nauseating. Like, I left, and I kind of like how Roxy was describing getting off of Mission Space and like wanting to lay on the ground. That was me getting off of Jimmy Fallon. Like, I just wanted to lay on the ground until the earth stopped moving. I was so sick.
Do you suffer?
What do you think about the queue though, on how you don't have to wait in line for the ride?
So nice.
Right? Isn't that kind of cool? You can just kind of sit down and like enjoy what they have going on.
Mm-hmm. I hope they do that on other rides from the future. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think they're trying to implement that into some future experiences for sure.
The queue system was great, but once we got on that ride, I was like, oh, I'm regretting this.
Well, you know what, James? Do it once, just so you say you did it.
Yeah, do it one time.
I tend to want to try to ride everything once for sure. I don't really get too much motion sickness. And this is the first time I've heard of anyone having motion sickness from Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, same here. I've never heard of that. I've never seen anybody with that issue.
What row were we in, Tanisha? I think we were in the second row.
Yeah, so we were in like the second row.
That was
row,
not
yeah.
great either.
Yeah, that might have been part of the problem. But literally all five people in our group were extremely, like, we all got off and were sick to our stomachs.
I will say that when we rode it on like the second day it was open, they had to stop the ride for a second and clean up vomit. Like, the ride hadn't actually started, but people were loading it in, and they like flagged an attendant saying, guys, I really need to clean this up for a little while. So you kept hearing the people, the guy, like, as they're ready to ride, going, okay, we're almost ready. Here we go. You know, like the pre-recorded, we're going to get ready to race. We're going to race through New York. as they're cleaning it, vomit. So I guess, but I've never had that issue before.
Interesting. I mean, I just the only reason I haven't been on it is that I just haven't been in the park while since it debuted while it was open, because it's not open during Halloween Horror Nights. So, and it, you know, whenever a new attraction comes to the, you know, to Orlando parks, whenever I go, I usually want to experience it. Just, you know. But I'm not like super excited about Jimmy Fallon or anything.
So was the Toad in the Hole more delicious coming up, or was it better going down?
Oh boy, this is the quality entertainment you get here.
Get your money's worth out of your butterbeer right there.
Oh God.
All right, Jimmy Fallon, you got sick. All right, let's move on to the next ride. So I know that we told you what rides to skip because they're the same in Hollywood. So which of those did you ignore and actually go on and find out for yourself?
We didn't ride anything. So we did not do I'm trying to think what else was
it. Fast and Furious.
We walked by that. We looked at each other and started laughing.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
We're like so sad. Those people don't even know. They don't even know.
You didn't do it? So you didn't experience it for yourself?
No. So that we skipped that. We skipped Minions. We did Men in Black, which was also
fun.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, but I'm prone to motion sickness. So I was not ready for the spinning on that ride.
Yeah,
it was more intense than I thought.
It is. Yeah. It is intense, and it goes well. It's intense to the it goes just a little bit more than you're just like, all right, I had about enough of this. And then it still goes for a little bit longer.
The tip off should have been the 42 inch height requirement right there. That hey, this may not just be as simple as like Midway Mania.
I mean, I figured it was going to be like fast and like maybe like some sharp turns or something. So I was like prepared for that. But like the sort of teacup spinning esque, because I hate, that's one attraction that I cannot stand at Disney is teacups. Like I'm not getting on it. So it was just that like fast spinning that I was just like, oh, okay, make it stop.
Well, but other than that, as a shooter attraction, it's probably the best one out there, in my opinion. You know, I think because you're actually you feel like you're pretty immersed. You know, I mean,
oh yeah,
and it's fun. I mean, I'm not very good at it. I don't know how good your score was.
I didn't know what I was supposed to shoot at. That was the only thing. Was like they were like aim for the aliens' heads, and I think. Because I'm so used to like a Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters where you know when you hit your target, they don't really, there's no sort of real indication that you've hit your target. So I was kind of shooting and I wasn't sure if I was actually hitting anything.
They move when you hit them.
Oh, I didn't see any movement. So maybe I hit nothing.
So you throw a zero.
I guess. No, I scored points. I just, nothing moved when I hit it. So I was like, did I hit it? I don't even know.
Well, doesn't the gun make some kind of acknowledging noise when you hit it, Grant?
I think it does.
Yeah, I think it makes. Yeah, it makes a noise. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You have a
scoreboard in front of you, so
It was all the spinning. The spinning. I really couldn't pay attention.
That was only one part, but
yeah, it was enough. It was enough.
All right, cool. You did that one. Revenge of the Mummy. What did you guys think of that ride?
Melissa went on it.
I went on that.
Oh, I understand if you don't like roller coasters. So what were your thoughts on that one, Melissa?
It was a blur. I don't remember what happened, but I know it was better than Hollywood's.
It definitely is. It was a blur.
Yeah.
What about the ending of the ride? That's so cool. What happens at the end? You don't remember?
I'm honestly trying to remember what happened.
No, that's not a good sign.
Well, I guess I'll just...
Did you see Brendan Fraser?
Well, that's the very end of the ride, Brendan Fraser. I just mean, like, I hate to spoil this.
But, it's pretty obvious, though, what's going to happen when you get to it.
I'll just say it, because to me, the first time I wrote it, it has a fake ending. where it seems like
oh yeah, that fake ending. Yes.
You get to, like, it looks like it's the end of the ride, and then you hear someone say, all right, wait for the restraints to go up, and, you know, whatever, the usual BS. And then there's, like, a shadow of an attendant in a window, and then he gets murdered by by the mummy, and then the ride's not over. And I was like, that is awesome.
That was fun. Yeah, I remember now. I did not expect that. Like, going to Universal completely blind, not knowing anything, it was fun because, like, obviously, you're brand new. You don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
As I said, I'm like, I say Revenge of the Mummy, it's like Space Mountain with fire. Because of action. And ghosts.
Oh, that fire was great because it was really cold that day.
Yeah, it was so cold.
All right. Is there any attractions left?
ET,
of course.
E.T. Somebody said that they would not write
favorite.
It.
Oh my god. Oh no.
Right. You loved it. Oh, please tell me you did this.
Yes, we did. Okay. Melissa loved it. She don't lie, Melissa. You had the time of your life.
So you have a fear of ET? Is that what this is?
Yeah, ET just, I don't know, freaks me out.
So what you're saying is that you felt really comfortable on his home planet.
Oh, I don't know how children do not come out of the ride just in tears. That's a terrifying ride.
I enjoyed myself. So.
That ride is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. Melissa doesn't know what she's talking about.
The queue is pretty creepy. It seems like you're going creepy. Through like a haunt. I've said that before.
I was expecting some jump scares.
And how didn't like warm your heart about you know, when E.T. said goodbye to you at the end of the ride?
Oh god, how did he say my name? It was so weird. Like
it was strange. I don't know.
It was like bye Melissa, bye Tanasha. I was like, that is not my name, but okay, thank you for trying.
Tanasha.
Tanasha. It said something weird like that. I was like, all right, well, I guess it tried.
Goodbye, Tanashios.
Hi, Felicia.
I thought Tanisha was going to be, like, spot on, but no.
Well, that's not what you do. That's what you tell him, Grant, right? You tell him your name is Felicia.
Yeah, Felicia.
Yeah, that's E.T. is it's the only opening day attraction that's still there, and you know, it's magic. I remember going on that ride when it was at Universal Hollywood when it first opened, and now that's where the mummy is now.
And, oh yeah,
and it's just I love it. It's so magical. But I'd imagine for the most part, though, children going to Kids Zone in general are like, what are these? Who are these characters? You know, like, who's E.T.? Who's Woody Woodpecker?
Oh,
who's Fievel? You know, from Fievel's Playland?
Yeah, Fievel.
Fievel is incredible. Fievel.
Oh.
What's up?
And Barney. Barney's there, too.
Well, I feel like Barney's still out. Isn't Barney still on TV?
I don't know.
No, Barney has been done for, like, a really long time. They just still have the show there.
But he's, like, the newest one, the character there. Because all the other characters are, like, you know, Fievel in particular. I mean, that is... I remember when they had Fievel's Playland at Universal Hollywood. It's at now where Super Silly Funland is. Back in the 90s. I mean, that was like a flash in the pan there, you know? Like, I mean, I love Mary, you know.
With American the giant, yeah, they have the giant tiger puppet cat. I remember seeing that when I was a kid.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know, whatever. Anyways, anything else? Did you eat anywhere else in studios besides Leaky Cauldron?
No, I think that was our only meal in the park of the day.
Yeah.
Because we ate dinner later, right, at home. or at home at the hotel.
At the hotel, yeah.
Yeah. It felt like home because we had a timeshare, but yeah.
Did you do the Rip Ride Rocket ride there?
Oh, yeah, there's that. That's the only ride, Rip Ride Rocket. Did you do that, Melissa?
No. Was it closed or we just didn't do it?
Yeah, I was going to say they did. Because of the rain, a lot of like the bigger rides and bigger roller coasters that were closed while we were there. Mm-hmm. So I know there was some stuff that the other girls wanted to go on that clearly I would not want to go on, but they weren't able to go.
All right. Well, before we leave studios, what was your overall
impression? Oh, we went to the show. Hold on. I forgot.
Oh, the horror makeup show?
Yeah, we did the horror makeup show. That was so funny. Because we got so, they have segments where they get an audience member to participate without giving too many spoilers away. And we totally forced our friend Kat to go up because we're Slytherins. And then Melissa's an evil Ravenclaw. So we all like secretly pointed at Kat behind her back. And then the audience member was like, oh, okay, all these Slytherins are pointing at this poor person. Let's get them.
We recorded the whole thing.
She was so mad.
I think that she doesn't like being a spectacle.
No, absolutely not. So that was really funny. That was entertaining.
I think that's a fun show. I mean, it might seem a little dated, especially since there's not a lot of practical effects in films these days. But that's a really cool thing that they still do there that I enjoy. I didn't do it. I don't think I did it last trip. Yeah, no, because my last few trips there were during Horror Nights, and that is also something that's not open during Horror Nights, which I don't know why, because I would think that would be a big hit at Horror Nights. But, I don't know. Maybe because all the people that work at that are busy doing other stuff for Horror Nights. I don't know. What are your overall thoughts compared to going to Universal Hollywood your whole life, going to Orlando?
Oh, it's just so like impressive. Like the scale of it, the everything is amazing.
Did you watch the nighttime show?
We walked by it.
Yeah. On our way out, we kind of watched it, half watched it. It was world color, but like
with Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
So what was the problem?
The Death Eaters come by. That's why I was asking if you saw that.
Oh, no, I did not see the Death Eater part. We missed that scene. But I saw, like, there was just, like, I think it was, I don't know. There was a Harry Potter section. I don't remember what it was because we couldn't really see the projections on the water very well as we were walking by. I could just, like, hear the music. But, yeah, and then, like, didn't they have, like, Jurassic Park or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We had to leave early because they were doing a nighttime event,
special
event. So they closed the park at 7.
Well, nighttime event. What? That's interesting.
I don't know. It was some after hours event.
Might have been a corporate event. That's what it kind of looked like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they rent it out for a few hours.
I see. That's lame.
We got there late and we left early. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys weren't there at Rope Drop?
We were so tired because we had pretty much done Rope Drop at every single Disney park except maybe Epcot. I think that was the only one that we didn't do Rope Drop for. So we were so tired.
I don't think there's a real need to Rope Drop at Universal. The only for now. I mean, after Hagrid's opens, might be different. But if you're on site, if you're staying on site at Universal, you get early access to Diagon Alley, you get an hour before the park opens. That's the only reason to get there early. But other than that, you know, there's no. I think they deal with their lines pretty well. I was surprised to hear there was a 2-hour wait at Gringotts. To be honest,
I think it was just the Harry Potter fans were in full force.
Yeah, that's that day. Because typically after when a ride first opens, yeah, it's really popular, but the wait times there are not very long. I've never felt the need to have an express pass. I don't know about you, Grant, but
yeah, I mean, we did express pass one time because we had so I forget. It was like we went in the summer and we had somebody somebody that we were related to was out for a day, and the lines were so astronomically long that we actually said I think Brittany actually, my wife, paid for express passes for three of us, just for the sake of being able to do everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, that's what I was saying is, you know, you don't really need the express pass. And typically the trend with most rides is by the time that a new ride opens up in that park, the thing that was popular, you know, the day before is no longer popular. I mean, I don't think anything new has opened up since, other than Jimmy Fallon and Fast and Furious, but those are not the highest received rides on property. Mm-hmm. But, you know, typically when something new opens up, the fervor around the popular thing from the year before, you know, like you can pretty much walk on it at that point.
Right. I think the year before that was Reign of Kong. Right now, but I think that's all going to shift once Hagrid's opens.
Yep.
Which is not going to have Express Pass when it opens. So that doesn't even matter. And I think as of right now, Forbidden Journey and Gringotts still don't have Express Pass options. Is that correct?
I can't speak for you. Speak for you for that one way or the other, honestly.
Okay, but whatever. All right, so Islands of Adventure, you did this your second day?
Yeah.
Yep. It was raining all day.
It was raining all day, so we were poured on.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice because there was like next to no lines for most stuff. So most stuff was pretty like maybe 15 minute wait-ish.
Did you go right to left or left to right?
We started in Hogsmeade, and then what was just past Hogsmeade? That was the Jurassic Park area, right?
Yeah. Oh, so you skipped the Dr. Seuss area.
No, we came around to that at the end.
Okay.
Oh, you entered the park. You entered islands through Hogwarts Express. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just trying to see if we can frame your day so we can kind of talk about things as it goes along.
Yeah. So we entered Studios, and then we took the Hogwarts Express to Hogsmeade, and then we worked our way around through Jurassic Park all the way back around to Hogsmeade again.
Okay. Did you guys do the Jurassic Park ride, or guys skip that since that's pretty much the same?
I think it was closed, wasn't it?
It might have been
either
closed for a refurb.
Either it was closed or nobody was on it.
Because it was raining. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? That does usually close. They usually do refurb on the water rides in like January and February.
Yeah, I don't remember it running.
Somebody's probably riding it.
Yeah, it's probably closed.
I think it was closed. Yeah, I'm pretty sure because I don't remember like seeing any of the boats coming actually down at all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so. Yeah, yes, the boats would still be going even if nobody was riding.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're just constantly circling. Okay, so then you come upon a con, or did you go into the visitor center?
Yeah, we went into the visitor center for sure because Melissa was like, we need to see
we
this.
We need to go.
So I was like, let's go. And we watched a baby raptor be born, and
it was cute.
Yes, cute. It's precious.
The visitor center still open?
Yeah.
I thought it closed. I'm sorry. I thought they closed it because they're building a new roller coaster around there.
No, it was still open anyway when we went.
Yeah, I believe that they're keeping it open throughout. They're building the coaster around the visitor center.
Oh, okay. What do I know?
So, did you do the Kong ride? Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, there's a new coaster coming. That's raptor themed that they haven't announced yet. This is all just rumors.
Ooh.
But
it's not even rumors anymore. They apparently yesterday they've started draining the water around Jurassic Park and started putting support beams in.
Mm. When I say rumors, I mean Universal doesn't like to announce things until like they're almost ready to open. But I think the construction started on this is probably while you were there. Did you see construction in the Jurassic Park area?
It was very gloomy, so I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
I was going to say it was very gloomy, and I don't recall seeing any construction going on. I don't know. Maybe they had barely were about to get started. I'm not sure.
Mm.
But yeah,
either
we
way,
just did the visitor center.
It did not hinder your fun.
No, it did not. And then from there, what did we, so we, yeah, we checked out the visitor center, and that was pretty much it for the Jurassic Park portion. And then from there, we went to,
it was Kong, right?
Yeah,
we did Kong's the next thing.
We did Kong.
So what,
the queue is amazing.
Yeah, well, pretty awesome queue, huh?
That animatronic is impressive.
Wait, what happened during the queue, Tanisha?
Do you not remember the queue?
No, I remember.
Oh. Wait, what are you are you talking about Kat screaming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So our friend Kat is like, she is we literally call her Scaredy Kat because she jumps and flinches at the tiniest little thing. And there are some things that happen in the queue that are meant to, you know, kind of scare you. And poor Kat was just, her anxiety was at a level 20.
There was an actor in there before you guys went in?
No, none of us. I didn't realize.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Did you guys mention that or no?
Probably not.
Yeah, no, okay. We probably left that as a surprise for you.
Yeah.
That was a major surprise.
Yeah, that was a major surprise. I was not ready for that, but I was like, oh, this is cool, because I feel like it's like a haunt. Like, I'm on board with this, but poor Kat was just like, she doesn't do horror movies. She does not do haunts. Like, she does no scary things, period. So she was just, like, not happy.
Oh, and we went there with another friend who lives in Orlando, and she's all, "Oh, you guys should go in first."
Yeah.
And we didn't think anything of it. Like, all right, you know, she wants to get our reaction to this.
She set us up. But it was great. I mean, other than that, other than the, obviously, like, the animatronic, there's, like, an extra scene, but if for the most part, like, the actual ride portion was exactly the same as the Hollywood tram tour experience. So I would say, like, the queue is really what made it, and then that huge animatronic Kong at the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I was a little underwhelmed with the ride after I first rode it, because I thought it was going to be similar to Indiana Jones Adventure, the way that they were describing it and hyping it up. And then I was like, nope, we're literally on the tram tour. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the initial press releases for that were like, you're going to go in and out of the temple, and they made it sound like it was going to be a longer ride and other crazy things were going to happen. And it was, I feel like the info that was leaked out was not the same as what the attraction was.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think those were that were following along, the hype didn't really match it for us, but it seems like you guys had a good time.
I mean, it was because there was next to no wait, so we had, especially that second day, I feel like we just had so much time that we were just like, yeah, let's just do all of the things, why not?
Hey, James, there's sort of human animatronic is actually in the line for Kong.
A human animatronic? I have a vague.
Yeah, the old lady witch.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, so they have done a human animatronic before, but like on that.
All right. There we go. Yeah, that's one of the coolest parts of the queue, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an awesome queue. That's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. All right.
So past that is Toon Lagoon.
And it has water, bunch of water rides, right?
Do you do any of those, the Dudley Do Rider or the Popeye and Bluto?
Nope. Not at all.
No. Yeah, we didn't do any of those. I'm trying to think.
Ride was open, though.
Yeah, it was. But nobody was on it. I was like, no. Was that the Dudley Do Right one?
The log ride?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, empty. I think after that was when we went to the, what is it called? Like, the Marvel-themed land.
Marvel Superhero Island?
Yep.
Yes, yeah. And we ate lunch at that, like, superhero restaurant thing.
Captain America's Diner?
Yes.
That was probably a pretty boring place to have lunch in Islands of Adventure, I'd imagine.
Well, I mean, we had, like, you know, we're all kind of nerdy, so we were thinking, like, oh, it's Marvel, like, superheroes, let's go eat there, but, like, the food was kind of meh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That place is, like, the most generic theme park food.
About a year and a half ago, we actually did character dining there.
Oh, they offer that there?
Well, they did a year and a half ago, and it was really awkward because it was like a pizza buffet thing. And my wife threw it together for me for my birthday. She was just like, okay, well, let's go to this. We haven't done this because we've done lots of character dining. The problem with it was that there were only like 20 people that signed up for it. So you had like these people who were doing their best that they could do as like Wolverine and like Storm and Captain America. They were doing their best that they could. But when you have the same characters like circling around for like an hour and at your table every like 3 or 4 minutes. It's
like, okay. You're like, okay, Captain America, go away. Like, we're sick of you.
What's up, Wolverine? Yeah, okay, cool. You're still here. Okay, nice.
I would have invited them to sit down and join us.
Oh, no, they totally did. They totally did. And Wolverine was saying that he was the one that was slicing the pizza up.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
That's wacky.
Oh, gosh.
That's the exact reason why there's no walk-around Harry Potter characters.
Oh, J.K. Rowling put a big stop in that. She was like, absolutely not.
No wacky moments like that.
Although the visual of that, you know, the idea of that.
Especially Dumbledore like, coming and checking on your food.
Well, especially since, like, if you look at it, like, their version of Wolverine that they use is not Hugh Jackman. They use, like, the bright yellow suit with, like, the little blue underwear outside. So I'm just thinking, like, some guy who's ripped wearing, like, yellow pants and blue underwear outside of it is just back there slicing pizza up. It's, like, the most ridiculous thing ever.
Well, that's actually. Well, you bring up a point that I want to bring up, which jarring to me the first time I went to Islands before I all realized everything about Marvel. Oh, actually, I won't even get to that yet. I want to know about your guys' thoughts on going on the Spider-Man attraction.
It was adorable. Cartoon.
It was adorable because I mean it's the cartoon like animated version of Spider-Man. So it was really cute. It was really well done.
With Sam Lee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He has a little cameo. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has three cameos in the ride.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, the first time I went on Spider-Man, it's such a fun, amazing attraction, but I was expecting it to be based on the, at the time I went, it was the original trilogy of films.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was so surprised that it wasn't, and that was before I knew, like, all the details of what actually they're allowed to do there. And I think that was actually, first time I went on that ride, I think that was actually before Disney bought Marvel. So it wasn't even a Disney thing. I was just expecting it to be based on the movie, the Tobey Maguire movies, and it's not, especially because, it's a movie theme park. Well, actually, Islands really isn't a movie theme park. That's another thing I realized, is that all the lands and everything are based on books as opposed to studios, which is based on movies. But
yeah, books and like print media, if you're going to count the comic strips as books,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Except Jurassic Park for whatever
that's
reason.
A book.
Yeah.
No, Jurassic Park started out as a book.
Yeah, it's a book. Yeah.
It is a book, but that part is based off the movie.
Yeah. The land is based off the movie.
Well, clearly, yeah, but I'm just saying, all the lands tie back to literary works.
Yeah. I did not know that.
You could say the same about Harry Potter, too, though, because technically Harry Potter was built off of the movie, not necessarily like the books.
Mm-hmm.
Although they did reference the books and they're building it.
Yeah. So although they still have Ravenclaw's mascot as a raven and not an eagle as it is in the books. So if we're being technical.
Wow. Going there, huh?
Yeah.
You don't get this kind of deep dives on other shows.
Yeah, I talk about trash cans and I talk about.
Oh, talking about trash cans. They were themed here, unlike Disney themed. World.
Yes, they had my themed trash cans. I was like, thank you, Universal.
There are themed trash cans at Universal?
Yeah.
I don't ever think about the trash cans at Universal.
I pay attention to these things. Apparently. I'm like, I remember me and Melissa were like, oh my gosh, they actually theme their trash cans here. Thank you. I feel so immersed right now.
That's wild. Can't say that's something that stays with me. All right. So the trash can. All right. What do you think about Marvel Super Hero Lot as a whole?
I like that it feels like you're walking through a comic book and it's very like loud and bright and in your face and stuff. I mean, it was cool for what it was.
It's very 90s cartoon.
Yes, very
like 90s. Loud with like electric guitars. Did anybody do Hulk or did we skip that one?
It was close.
Yeah.
Sad.
So, did you guys spend any time in Port of Entry on your trip around the park?
What is Port of Entry?
That's the opening of their park. that's their Main Street USA kind of. That, you know, if you went,
I don't
if
think
you,
we did.
We totally missed it then because I don't even remember seeing that.
Yeah, if you went around, you just passed it. You know, like we're going around, but that's the way to enter the park from the entrance of Islands of Adventure. It's the Port of Entry. What's cool about Port of Entry? It's kind of a timeless, really well themed, like kind of has a Middle Eastern feel to it, for like a better phrase. I don't know, but it's the Port of Entry, you know. But there's lots of little clues and things of stuff from all the islands throughout that land, particularly the restaurant. What's the name of that restaurant, Nick Grant? Confisco Grill?
Which one?
Confisco Grill? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, like that's a pretty decent restaurant. It's actual, it's a table service. But it's, they have lots of, in the lobby, they have little items that could be found in all of the lands, the kind of little Easter eggs to be found with that. So it's just like a fun kind of theme park nerd kind of area. It's not based on anything. It's just there. It's their version of a Main Street USA, but it's Middle East or something. I don't know. It kind of seems like a Middle Eastern area to me.
We totally
kind of Greek
it
in a way as well.
Yeah, a little Greek.
Middle East.
Poseidon's
that was,
thing?
No, that's land. Okay, what is it never called? Land. No, what is it? What is that area called?
The Lost Continent.
Lost Continent.
There you go. Lost Continent.
Well,
I was like something...
Really quick, James, you said that there was something that you wanted to talk to about Marvel, but.
Oh no!
Let's talk about Spider-Man. I just wanted to see where you're going.
No,
with this.
No. What it was what I brought up about Spider-Man was saying, was it weird? We're expecting the Marvel Cinematic Universe representation of the characters, and then getting. I don't know if you're expecting that or not, but it's kind of
weird. Probably
not,
because I know that, like, obviously Disney owns it, so I knew that they couldn't copy that style or that. I guess it's different going in as an adult when you know that kind of like behind the scenes stuff, but yeah.
Well, knowing that this area is kind of old and before Disney got the Marvel rights, you would assume it's comic book Marvel land versus, cinematic
MCU.
Universe.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, just to be clear, the Marvel Cinematic Universe started before Disney bought Marvel, too.
Right.
Because they used to be put out by Paramount.
Yeah, that's right.
What's really bizarre is that... California Adventure just announced, I think yesterday or 2 days ago, that they're putting in their version of a Spider-Man ride in the old It's Tough to Be a Bug building.
Yep.
And that's kind of, if you think about how popular the Spider-Man ride is and how many awards it
won,
the fact that it's 20 years old and it's still considered one of the top, rides out there. You know, it's almost like Disney is playing with fire right now. Like, by saying, we heard you like Spider-Man ride, so we're going to build another Spider-Man ride, but it's going to be totally different. And unfortunately, that's going to be something that, like, anybody who's been on the one over here in Florida has been on is going to immediately compare it to that ride.
This is the other, I think they know they have to top that ride. We'll see if they do that or not, or if it's a good ride or if it's just a filler.
Right? Well, I hope they do. I mean, if you really think about it, the fact that Harry Potter, when they built like Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade, that really cued like a nice level of theme park rivalry right there. As far as I don't think we'd be getting Star Wars, or we would have gotten Pandora, at least as intricate as they are, without Universal stepping up their game and convince Mickey to step up his.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that we're getting a nice little rivalry going on between everybody, and that's good for, you know, the people who like to go.
But it's also confusing for the casual visitor.
Yeah.
To have some Marvel at Disney, at Disneyland, and then over at Universal, but it's not the characters.
Okay, I live 3 hours from Disney and Universal, and I have coworkers that don't know much about things, even though they live 3 hours from there, and they say, so where's the Harry Potter theme park at? And I had that's a thing that those are people who live here in Florida, and they could get there, you know, in 3 hours if they wanted to, and they still don't really understand the fact that that's the thing. Like, a lot of people think that Star Wars is going to be a theme park, or Avatar is a theme park, and they're not. That they're individual lands, and a lot of the perception of how people see it, and it's a lot of clickbait articles that you see online. Make it look like it's its own theme park when it is not.
Yeah.
So it's all really confusing. But I think big picture, there's backdoor deals that are trying to be made. And I think that eventually Disney's going to have the right offer to Universal to give up the rights in Orlando.
Probably.
Well, what is it? From what I've heard is that Universal only has the rights for what, 10, 15 more years or something like that?
No, it's in perpetuity. That's what I heard. It's like forever.
But you see, the problem that they have with that is if Disney offers Universal a ton of money to get their rights for their characters, then they're pretty much funding a brand new land for Universal.
Yeah.
You now have to remove all that property from there, and then what do you put in there? Well, let's see, we got a ton of money from Disney, so let's go and outbuild whatever they're going to do with Spider-Man and Iron Man and all that.
Right. So, yeah, that's sure that's their dilemma, but I'm sure Disney wants Marvel characters at Walt Disney World. So, I don't know. I think it'll happen eventually. That's my not based on anything, but I just think that there's no way that it's just going to be this 90s comic book version of Marvel at Universal forever.
It's going to be like when the Disneyland Hotel was not owned by Disneyland. It's going to be a point where that's not going to be allowed, and they need to take ownership of what they own. They're going to want to own that and not let anybody else touch it.
Well, and I could see Universal wanting to take the money and maybe make something completely new that'll rival, because, you know, now that Disney is going to have both Star Wars and Disneyland's going to have a Marvel land anyway, they may want to go a different direction.
What they could do, this could be really interesting, would be as if Disney decided, or if Universal decided they wanted to try to get more money out of Disney for the land, they could like really make the characters really off model and have them act terribly, you know, just to like ruin the image.
Have
Spider-Man swearing and smacking into things and like robbing people. And it's like,
stick him up.
Yeah.
All right, let's wheel back in.
Major tangent.
Let's wheel back in the armchair Imagineering here. So we went next on our journey around the islands, is Seuss Landing. So what'd you guys do here?
Cat in the Hat.
Yay!
So, what do you think of Cat in the Hat?
It was so creepy. It was giving me flashbacks to Journey into Imagination. I was like, oh god, we're here again.
That ride is very long too.
Yeah, for a dark ride. Yeah, I think I probably told you that it's not. Most dark rides are like 30 seconds or a minute. This one is
Three or four.
Yeah, but maybe in 5 minutes. I don't know. Yeah, you strap in, you know. But one thing that they took out of the ride last time I went, which is probably to your guys' benefit, is that the end of the ride used to have this like crazy spinning portion of the ride where you just start spinning really fast, and they took that out.
Thank goodness.
Oh, jeez.
Thank goodness.
There's a little funny story. The first time I went on that ride, I had a video camera because it was, that's how long ago it was, not video on my phone. Universal really doesn't like people videoing their rides as opposed to Disney, who doesn't care. But I was videotaping the ride, and a loudspeaker came over the ride and said, "You with the red camera and the black t-shirt, put the camera away." I was like, wow, it was that important to you that you had to ruin the ride for everybody else. But I love it. I went on it. I always go on it. That's like a must do for me. It's always a walk on, so that's mm-hmm. like, it's yeah. not an issue. And I just love creepy dark rides. And it's,
and the cat, creepy cartoony dark rides.
And the Cat in the Hat, particularly as an animatronic, is super creepy. And like the
I'm like, what the heck was that design?
Oh, it's wonderful. Did you guys take the High in the Sky Zeus trolley?
That was closed because it was raining, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sucks.
What about one of my favorites, the One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish?
I think that was closed too. A lot of the stuff in Zeus Land was closed because of the rain.
If you do not follow there's a song that happens on the One Fish, Two Fish ride. And if you do not move the fish the way that the song tells you to, you will get sprayed with water.
Oh, that's cool.
That's basically a Dumbo spinner ride.
Yeah, it's Dumbo with interactive elements, kind of like the Kane Kodos spin over at Universal Studios.
Is that interactive? Simpsons. I've never been on that.
Yeah. Like if you you can swing by, and actually on the Kane Kodos ones, you can actually swing by and try to hit the Simpsons characters and abduct them.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
I usually just avoid spinner rides because those, for obvious reasons.
No, I totally understand. But yeah, I like when they at least try to do something to make it a little different than just spin around.
For sure. So that was nothing else in Seuss, huh? Because everything was closed and
yeah, everything was closed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the
line was adorable.
The what?
The line was adorable, though.
Oh yeah, no, it's very cute. You guys didn't indulge in any green eggs and ham?
They have that there?
That stand is almost always closed.
Yeah, there's a stand. Yeah.
I think that only opens on peak days and like in peak season. So I think there's only one more attraction, and then we have circled the park.
There's a Lost Continent, and I think there's only one attraction in there now, right?
Please tell me that you did it and that you listened to James and I.
We totally did it. It was the Poseidon's something.
Fury.
Poseidon's Fury. That's what it's called. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So. It was funny because my friend that lives, so she was born and raised in Orlando. She had moved out to Southern California for a couple years, and then she moved back to Orlando recently. And she had never done that attraction. As many years, she's been an annual pass holder for Universal Orlando for years. And she was like, I've never done this attraction.
Oh, well, that makes me happy. That always makes me happy when somebody who like has been somewhere a million times like tries something that they always pass.
Yeah. So even she was like really, like we all went in with no expectations. Like I had no idea what it was supposed to be, but it was a really cool show, like a walkthrough show.
It's pretty unique. You know, it's not like, it's not like going to like a haunt type experience, you know, but yeah, it's like, it's a show, but you feel like you're going on an adventure, you know?
Yeah. it was definitely cool. And then that I think you guys had mentioned like that surprise in that last room. I won't spoil it, but it was kind of like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah, my mind was blown.
Yeah, that blows my mind still. Every time you go on there, you're like, or walk through there, like, what? How did that just happen?
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool.
could you kind of see how where the rumors of it eventually turning into like a Chamber of Secrets idea, how could work with that pretty easily?
Yeah, could see how it could fit in there if they redesign that. And I mean, I get, because it's like since it's like a lot of theme parks are moving towards like intellectual properties, right? Like they're moving towards things that people know, that people are familiar with, that are popular already. So I can see why they would want to like replace that, because it's not based on anything that, you know, other than Greek mythology, but it was still really cool.
I think the only way that you're going to get a new, like, a new ride or attraction that's major without any IP attached to it is nowadays is like with a brand new park opening, just for the sake of rounding something out. You know, like you're going to see something like Kilimanjaro Safaris or that kind of thing, or even Shanghai Disney, if you're looking back at that, their rapid ride that they have out there. That's the only way that you're going to get something, because it's like, we got to fill this park up with something. Okay, well, let's put this in here, and if we need to retrofit it to a property later, we can.
That's the sign of the times. Plus, at this point, that is the only attraction in the Lost Continent. Lost Continent first opened used to encompass what is Hogsmeade as well. There used to be a show there. Dragon Challenge used to be Dueling Dragons. So that was the whole area, and now there's one attraction, the walkthrough, and one restaurant, Mythos, and it's eventually, Harry Potter is going to take over the whole of Lost Continent. My only thing is if Poseidon's Fury becomes Chamber of Secrets, I don't know how that's possible in the reality of the situation or whatever, because it's so far away from Hogwarts.
Well, you see, like, in between there is that what was a Sinbad show, and that basically was the comedian Sinbad talking about his time on Jingle All the Way.
Well, that was an excellent show.
The Sinbad show is just him doing this every day because he has no work going his way anymore. No. We love you, Sinbad, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's a huge listener of the show. He loves it.
PB Kingdom loves you, Sinbad. No, but they'd have to like do something as far as making the show Harry Potter in order to kind of like fully expand that.
And you could do something. You could do a Harry Potter show and still keep it, whatever the reality that JK is strict about. But
you're now blocking, like, by changing that around, you are now blocking the walking path through the whole park.
Yeah, to get through there.
Because it's in a circle. So if they decided to do something with it, I don't know how they would divert people, because there's no real way other than that.
Yeah, another thing about Islands of Adventure is they never really utilize the water space there either. Like, there's no boats or anything, or I don't know. It's interesting.
It's the same feeling that I have toward Epcot, where I think that the water is really nice. Same with California Adventure. But ultimately, you're like looking at it going, man, but so many more awesome attractions on this water right here. Sure. Like, you're taking up a major part of your theme park footprint by having water right here that you may use for a night show.
Yeah, particularly
that you use for a night show once, that doesn't always operate, but Islands Adventure, they have that whole water right there, and I guess that's what makes it the islands, but because you do need water for islands. But man, you think about what you could put, like what you could fit in there. You could probably fit two or three more islands in that water right there.
For sure. Oh, definitely. Probably four islands. all right. Well, that was your whole trip around the islands. And did you do anything in City Walk? Are you trying the restaurants or anything like that?
We went to the Chocolate Emporium.
All right. Yeah. This is what we've all been waiting for. You're Chocolate Emporium.
Yes.
So how did that go?
It was really, like, that it had a whole backstory to it, and like it, so it was kind of like a story experience along with the dining, so that was really cool.
Did the characters come by?
And I didn't expect the what's her name?
She's a very long name. Every time she said it to me, I'm like, I'm not going to remember this.
That her parents are missing and she's trying to bring them back. So she built this giant chocolate factory in hopes that her parents will find it. And it was something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
But it was cool. It was cool.
She didn't tell me about that. We were talking.
It was in the menu. There was like a whole backstory written in the menu that you had to read, and then they had a walk around character. So she was walking around, like asking if we were enjoying her chocolate and all that kind of stuff. And then she had like a steampunk robot friend that she had built herself, and he was walking around too. So
wow, I've never seen the robot in person walking around. Have you? I just saw her my last trip.
No, I was inspecting, characters in the restaurant. It added to it.
Yeah.
So how was the food?
We just got ice cream.
Okay.
We went straight to dessert. We were like, let's just have dessert. We don't need food.
Oh, James, weren't you the one that was saying that you've been to the chocolate place and never had chocolate from them? Or, ordered it there?
Yeah, I never had dessert.
You took it to go.
Oh, yeah, we took it to go the last time. We got the cupcakes with broken glass in it because it was a Horror Nights. And that's what she told us to get, the walk-around character. She said, because she saw that, she assumed that we were Halloween Horror Nights fans.
based on how we looked. Safe assumptions.
So she was asking us about that. About Halloween Horror Nights and whatever. I forget the way she phrased it. She's stating character. But she was saying that we should try the murder cupcakes. And it looked like it was like broken glass and blood on top of a cupcake.
Oh, wow.
So we did. We took her advice. And they were good. All right. Universal Orlando. What are your final thoughts as we wrap up this journey?
I personally feel that Universal and Islands is definitely worth the whole trip to go just to Orlando for. More than it is, let's say, if you had to choose between Hollywood and Orlando, go to Orlando.
Yeah. If you're like in the middle of America and you're not close to either one. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You're going to get more bang for your buck. I think Hollywood is like...
historical.
It's historical, and the studio tour aspect of it is a very unique and historical experience for if you're really into film and film history.
Yeah, I was gonna say you go to them for different reasons. Yeah. I think you go to Orlando if you are like wanting a theme park trip, you would go to Universal Orlando over Hollywood. But if you are like a film buff and you're like, I just want to go like nerd out over filmmaking, then yeah, obviously like Hollywood would be your.
And there's lots of other things to visit in LA to enhance.
For
that.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That you know, your movie going experience.
Yeah. Cause you could hop around all the film studios and do all of the backlot tours. So.
Well, what's nice is where Universal and Disney have put all their theme parks are in areas where there's tons of other stuff to do. So, you know, you can make it a whole vacation destination. Like Southern California and Florida, as well as like Paris and Tokyo and Hong Kong and Osaka. These are all places, and Singapore. These are all areas that you could easily spend a week in and find tons of stuff to do. So it's kind of nice that they're not like out in the middle of the sticks.
Right, right. And particularly in Southern California, there's a lot you could cover in a small geographical space.
Yeah.
That's worth doing. I don't know how many things are worth doing on iDrive in Orlando.
Yeah.
But, the Grant has done them all, right?
No, I haven't done everything yet, but I will get to them.
Yeah, you know.
they will come. There's a lot of mini golf out there. Like, there's a lot of mini golf, and I have not gotten to all of them yet.
Well, in fact, there's a mini golf place that's in the works from this guy, Dave Ensign, who he used to be a Disney World urban explorer, I guess that's for lack of a better phrase. But he's building a Western-themed mini golf place in Orlando that's going to supposed to be a bunch of animatronics and fun stuff like that. So I backed his Indiegogo, which gave me a lifetime pass. So when it opens, I have a lifetime pass there. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's not even under construction yet. So, but that should be fun. But anyways, all right. Any final thoughts to wrap this up?
No, I was just, I can't wait to go back to Harry Potter.
Well, you have a reason to go back.
Yes, I was like, oh, I need to go back to Diagon Alley so bad. I'm so sad. Like, I'm just so sad that we don't have it here.
Yeah, I heard one rumor once that they were thinking about building it, but I haven't heard anything about that any recently at all. Building it in a soundstage in Hollywood.
Oh, interesting. I know that there was a lot of rumors for a while when Shrek 4D closed down. There was a lot of rumors that they were going to tear out the Shrek 4D theater and then tear out Waterworld and build like a Diagon Alley next to Hogsmeade somehow. But obviously that didn't happen because they like revamped the Shrek 4D theater, and I don't think Waterworld's going anywhere anytime soon.
No, very popular show despite the IP not being popular.
So come back to Florida then. What do you think you would do? How many days of Universal and how many, if any, days of Disney would you choose to do ultimately?
I personally liked how we did it, which is a day apart. But I kind of wished we had more breaks in between.
Yeah.
I mean, a day to chill out.
Yeah,
like a day. Yeah, like a day in between to just go to the beach, or just after, like in just between Disney chill. Universal. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or enjoy the resorts. Like I think that was one thing. Was like I really, I loved the resorts out there, the Disney resorts, and like the theming. And it would have been cool to have just like a relaxed day of just like hanging out at the resorts. Would have been nice. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as like if I had like a weekend or something, or like a 4-day trip or something, and I had to prioritize, like I would want to go back and do a day at Animal Kingdom, maybe like an evening at Epcot, and then a day or two at Universal.
Gotcha.
Oh, that's the Universal resorts are, I love them. I like them more than Disney's resorts, and that's. If I have a choice of if I'm gonna stay on site, I mean, Cabana Bay is one of my favorite places, like ever. I just love the theming there, and they have a new one coming up this summer with very low prices that I'm really interested in. I'm probably gonna stay at next time I go, the Endless Summer hotel. So they're rapidly. I think every year. They're opening a new hotel.
Oh, wow.
Well, what's nice about that is by doing a theme or a huge hotel with lower prices and nice amenities, I think it's going to cause the other park down the street to lower some of their prices on their hotels.
I hope so.
Like, you know, because like a lot of this is like gotten so incredibly insanely high. Like, I heard that the price point, like if you wanted to go for a single day now, on like that week in between Christmas and New Year's, it's now $159 a day. Oh, so I think some of this needs to get reeled back in a little bit as far as prices go.
Yeah, hopefully drive some competition.
This may hopefully kind of cause that competition.
Yeah,
because Endless Summer, their rates are starting at $85 a night.
Oh
wow!
Yeah,
nice. Yeah,
you know, and it's you get all the same amenities as being in any other. You know, get early entry to the Wizarding World, and you know anything else that comes with it. And they have 2-bedroom suites for $130 now. I was just looking them up the other day because they just put them on sale like this week. So
oh wow!
It opens up in a few months, the new hotel. So like 2-bedroom suite for $130 a night, like that's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, the comparison would be Art of Animation at Disney, and those are definitely not $130.
Yeah, those are the cheap ones, but they're still what, like $200
yeah,
a night? Or
yeah, probably more than that. Yeah, probably probably less than $300, but yeah, but $250 probably if around there. And then the prices fluctuate all the time. But so yeah, it's you know, I the competition's good for innovation, but we need some competition to get some more affordable hotel rooms.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. I mean, it's sad to say that this long journey is over.
It's all over.
Wow.
You know,
it is great.
But
now we're seasoned like Orlando vets now.
Ish.
Sprinkled, maybe not seasoned.
But. Sprinkled.
Yeah, sprinkled.
We're sprinkled Orlando theme park people now.
All right. So you guys are all set to make your reservations for the upcoming Creepy Tour Orlando that Creepy Kingdom is holding this September.
Oh. So
you guys are all seasoned vets now, right?
Well, I also need to be a financially sound vet.
True.
Yeah, I'll say I will check my finances on that and would be happy to join if I can afford it.
This right now on this podcast right now is the, you know, we haven't officially announced anything yet, but it's going to be coming together very soon because the planning is already in the works and it's going to go down. So...
there may be a special guest.
Oh,
me.
Talking about
Greg. I was gonna say,
is it Florida man?
Florida man.
Ooh, good guess.
Florida man.
And spoiler alert, that's actually all this is. It's just we're gonna get a room and you get to hang out with Grant for a week.
Get to hear me snore, sleepwalk, all that good stuff.
And I guess maybe if there's nothing else to do, we'll stop by a theme park or two. But, you know, I'm sure we'll be fine. All right. Anywho. All right, guys. We're rambling. We're going to wrap this up. And let's say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
If you want to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us, creepykingdom@gmail.com. And be sure to go to our website for pictures, videos, show notes, link to our social media, articles, check out our clothing store, all that awesome stuff. And if you would like to support what we do here, the easiest way to do that is by joining our Patreon, where we have the full-length documentary that we did on Haunted Mansion fans, Foolish Mortals, exclusively online in the Patreon. We have our Patreon-exclusive show, which is uncensored, live from the dungeon. Just go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. Alrighty, until next time, let's close the gates.